ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 21 एंड 22। कदाचित् भग्नमान दंष्ट्रो दुर्जन दंड शोकैर अलब्ध निद्राक्षणो व्यतीत हृदयेनानुक्षीयमान अभिज्ञानो अंधकूपे अंधवत् पतति। Translation: In the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul is sometimes bitten by envious enemies, which are compared to serpents and other creatures. Through the tricks of the enemy, the conditioned soul falls from his prestigious position. Being anxious, he cannot even sleep properly. He thus becomes more and more unhappy, and he gradually loses his intelligence and consciousness. In that state, he becomes almost perpetually like a blind man who has fallen into a dark well of ignorance. Text 22. Translation: The conditioned soul is sometimes attracted to the little happiness derived from sense gratification. Thus he has illicit sex or steals another's property. At such a time he may be arrested by the government or chastised by the woman's husband or protector. Thus, simply for a little material satisfaction, he falls into a hellish condition and is put into jail for rape, kidnapping, theft, and so forth. Purport: Material life is such that due to indulgence in illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating, the conditioned soul is always in a dangerous condition. Meat eating and intoxication excite the senses more and more, and the conditioned soul falls victim to women. In order to keep women, money is required, and to acquire money, one begs, borrows, or steals. Indeed, he commits abominable acts that cause him to suffer both in this life and in the next. Consequently, illicit sex must be stopped by those who are spiritually inclined or who are on the path of spiritual realization. Many devotees fall down due to illicit sex. They may steal money and even fall down from the highly honored renounced order. Then for a livelihood, they accept menial services and become beggars. It is therefore said in the Shastras, Yan maithunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Materialism is based on sex, whether licit or illicit. Sex is full of dangers, even for those who are addicted to household life. Whether one has a license for sex or not, there is great trouble. Bahu dukkha bhak. After one indulges in sex, many volumes of miseries ensue. One suffers more and more in material life. A miserly person cannot properly utilize the wealth he has. And similarly, a materialistic person misuses the human form. Instead of using it for spiritual emancipation, he uses the body for sense gratification. Therefore, he is called a miser. So this is a very heavy verse and quite a heavy purport by Srila Prabhupada. Series of verses in the chapter entitled The Forest of Enjoyment. So, we will discuss today 3 points. Firstly, what protects us from fall down? And secondly, how the jiva actually falls from his spiritual position? And thirdly, how to prevent a fall in case we are already on this path? So, right now, all of us are in the process of practice of Krishna consciousness, and considering the kind of dangers which are around, the very fact that we are surviving itself is a miracle. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, at the end of the battle, Arjuna, he would generally ask Krishna to get down from the chariot. And on this day, Krishna asked Arjuna to get down from the chariot. And as soon as Arjuna got down and Krishna got down from the chariot, the entire chariot crumbled to pieces, burst into flames. And Krishna explained to Arjuna that throughout these 18 days of the battle, so many different types of very powerful astras were being shot. Various types of weapons of Agni, Vayu, Brahmastra, etc. were being shot. But none of these astras could affect you, my dear Arjuna, because I was absorbing the effects of all of these astras. You were situated in the chariot. You were definitely very skilled. Arjuna is known as Savyasachin, who is ambidextrous. That means he is skillful in using weapons with both of his hands. Therefore, as far as skills and power is concerned, there was absolutely no doubt that Arjuna was very, very powerful. But the enemies Arjuna was facing was much more powerful than all of Arjuna's weapons and skills put together. And any one of those weapons and warriors would have affected Arjuna in a major way. And the only thing which protected Arjuna in that situation on the battlefield was the protection, the personal protection afforded by Krishna. So globally, locally and individually, the Krishna consciousness can flourish only with protection of Krishna. Otherwise, the weapons being thrown at us at all levels are too immense to overcome the attack. So Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON globally. All over the world there are temples. Locally there are various deities established and installed. And individually we are trying to cultivate Krishna consciousness within the core of our hearts. And if there is any progress at all in this endeavor, it is only because Krishna is the chariot driver and Krishna is providing that protection. Otherwise, it is practically impossible in this age of Kali Yuga to progress on this path of bhakti in spite of so many allurements and weapons which are hurled by Maya at every moment. Therefore, when Arjuna went to meet Krishna later at Dwarka and he was returning back, he was overwhelmed by the attack of infidel cowherd boys. And at that time he realized that all of his power was actually borrowed power and it was coming from Krishna. And therefore, after returning back, he told Yudhishthir Maharaj, Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Ye Name Apahrta Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. That Krishna was so powerful that he had actually given me all these powers. And by seeing the display of my powers, even demigods would get bewildered. Deva Vismapanam, that which would astonish the demigods, that kind of powers I had. These powers were only coming because of Krishna's grace. Therefore, Vanchitoham. Now that power has been snatched away, taken away. And therefore, again, I am weak. Tadvai dhanus ta ishava saratho hayaste soham ratin ripatayota yata anamanti. Otherwise, I am that same Arjuna. Tadvai dhanus, this is that same Gandiva. These are the same arrows. These are the same weapons. This is the same chariot. Soham ratin ripatayo yata anamanti. I am that same Arjuna to whom all these big, powerful warriors would offer obeisances. But what happened now? Sarvam kshanena tadabhut asat ishariktam. All of my powers have been snatched away in one moment. Sarvam kshanena, in one moment, asat ishariktam. All of my power and glory has been reduced to a big zero. Why? Ishariktam. Because Krishna has left this planet and he has decided that I need not have these powers any longer. So therefore, endowment and withdrawal of powers of any kind and protection is provided by Krishna. That is the purport Prabhupada gives. Krishna endows us with power and protection, and Krishna withdraws our powers and protection. And when Krishna takes away his protection, nothing can stop. Therefore, all of us are aware that this material world is a place of danger. There are allurements, there are temptations of Maya. And we have been successfully practicing sense control, fighting against the various allurements as spiritual warriors. But following in the footsteps of Arjuna, we should realize that any spiritual warrior has only as much strength and power and protection as is afforded by Krishna. And therefore, our chariots are constantly under attack. And unless Krishna gives that protection, there is no way we can survive. And hence, any feeling of pride which develops because of having successfully practiced this process for some time would only be detrimental to our own spiritual consciousness, because as soon as Krishna sees that, he will take away that protection. And as soon as the protection is taken away, the weapons are already there. The weapons have already been shot. And constantly we are under attack from different sources. Therefore, we should feel really surprised that in spite of so much attack, we are still surviving in the process of Krishna consciousness. It is only because of the causeless mercy and the protection of the Lord. Otherwise, our glance towards this material world and objects of this material world is full of lust. And there are so many other people in this world who are casting lustful glances upon us. And there is constant exchange of these lusty desires going on. But in spite of that, still somehow we are managing to follow principles. That means that there is some other factor which is protecting us in spite of our full endeavor to fall down. That means there is Krishna who is very actively trying to protect us, just as on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Although Arjuna was many times complacent, but Krishna was more alert than Arjuna. And Krishna was in more anxiety than Arjuna to protect. Therefore, a devotee derives his protection and strength simply by Krishna's mercy. As someone told Srila Prabhupada once that sometimes it appears, generally I am Krishna conscious, but sometimes I fall in Maya. But Prabhupada said, no, it is the opposite. That generally you are always in Maya, sometimes you fall in Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is providing that protection. And that is the first point which I wanted to discuss. That what is protecting us in this situation is Krishna's protection. Therefore, nimitta matra bhava savya sachin. As long as one remains nimitta matra, then one may be very expert and skillful as a devotee, as a preacher, performing various kinds of services. But that by itself does not protect us. That protection is provided by Krishna. So therefore, the next point is, how does the jiva or the soul, spiritual practitioner, actually fall? So, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described, there is a very beautiful verse, and this I will relate to one of the sections of Puranjan's pastime, which I just discussed recently. And in this section it is described that the soul goes through various stages before he goes through a complete fall. And in this section it is described how Puranjan is going to the forest to hunt. And the first step towards fall, loss of control over one's senses, is pride. It begins with pride. And it is described, Chachar mrgayam tatra dripta ateshu karmuka. So, dripta ateshu karmuka means inspired by pride. Chachara. So, chachara means Puranjan, he leaves his queen and goes to the forest to hunt animals. So, therefore, Prabhupada says there are various types of hunting, and one type of hunting is known as woman hunting. And that means that a person is dissatisfied with available sense gratification, and then gradually his desire for sense gratification becomes unlimited. Therefore, controlled sense gratification is always unsafe, because it is only a matter of time when a person feels proud, and then his desire to enjoy senses increases more and more, and it results in uncontrolled sense gratification. Therefore, vihaya jayam atat arham mriga vyasana lalasa. So he developed a desire for hunting various types of animals in the forest. So therefore, giving up his queen, the queen refers to intelligence. So therefore, a conditioned soul gives up his good intelligence and goes to the forest of material world to enjoy various kinds of sense objects. So the various animals refer to the various sense objects. And this pride is the beginning. And the pride in the fact that I am an enjoyer and I have the capacity to enjoy in so many ways. He is proud of his chariot, proud of his bows and arrows, of all the various facilities he has. And riding that chariot, he enters into the forest to enjoy. So each one of us have been given a specific chariot, the body, which has very specific features. And each of us is completely convinced about the uniqueness and the fantastic capacity of this specific chariot which we have received. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt that we are great. It is only when we start hearing, after coming to Hare Krishna movement, that we are not so great, we start feeling some doubt. Why they are saying this again and again? I should be humble, I am not so great. And maybe after many, many years, we start thinking, maybe what they are saying is true. Otherwise, the conviction one has in one's own greatness and the specific feature of the body and the senses and the particular combination of the intelligence which he has received is so overwhelming that a person just gets completely entrapped by that. And that impels him to engage in sense gratification. Therefore, 11th canto, Bhagavatam, gives a beautiful verse which describes various types of identification. It's a very revealing verse, because this verse describes all the various types of possible misidentifications a person has with respect to this chariot, with respect to this body. And the verse says, Dehendriya prana dhiya manoyo janma pyayakshud bhayatarsha krichrai samsara dharmai avimuhyamana smritya harer bhagavata pradhana. So all of us have different types of misidentification. For one who identifies with his body, so in this verse, the first line describes the various types of identification, and the second line describes the misery which is associated with that specific identification. So different types of misidentification with the body results in different types of misery. So deha, if you identify with the body, then identification with the body results in one feeling extreme drowsiness and unquenchable sex desire. So this is predominant. It is not that one only identifies like that. The identifications are multiple. But when the predominant identification is with the body, one just feels drowsy like anything. One is always desiring when he can go and take rest and sleep, and he just is not alert. Drowsiness and unquenchable sex desire. The sex desire troubles a person so much that he doesn't know how to control it. And this is nothing but when the soul identifies with the body in a predominant way. Then, if one identifies with the prana, dehendriya prana, that means life air, identification with life air results in the feeling of extreme hunger. One is always feeling hungry. Within half an hour of eating, again you are feeling hungry. And even before eating, you are thinking, when I am going to eat next? And we are wondering why this happens. And therefore, someone who doesn't have this identification is bewildered to see someone always looking for food, because that is his identification. And another person is there who never digests properly. So that problem is not there at all. So therefore, given a certain set of conditioned souls, each one will have a unique type of identification, and therefore each one is intrigued and bewildered by seeing the problem other is facing. And he is wondering, why is he having such a big problem like this? Because that is his identification. And then, when one identifies with the mind, that creates the problem of panic and fear. Panic and fear. So some people are always in paranoia. They're always fearful. Oh, what will happen? What will happen? And you're wondering, hey, what is the problem? Why you're always fearful? Abhay charanaravindare bhaja hure mana. You just worship Krishna. What is the problem? But his identification is with the mind, and he cannot understand also why he is feeling that panic. That is because of identification with the mind. Then identification with intelligence. That is really very interesting. When one identifies with intelligence, he experiences profound existential bitterness and frustration. He is always in frustrated state. He is always in bitter state. And you may go and explain to him the most amazing, beautiful thing, and he will just give a skeptic remark. It is always like this. And you are wondering, what will inspire him and what will impress this fellow? Because of identification with the intelligence, it creates bitterness and frustration. You may think he's always like Karela, always bitter. As soon as you touch him, some very bitter juice comes out. And then identification with false ego creates feeling of perpetual inferiority. I am fallen, I am bad, I am nothing. Everyone else is so great. What will happen to me? I am the most patit. I am the most degraded. Even Krishna can't deliver me. So all these feelings of inferiority comes because of identification with the ego. And when one identifies with the process of consciousness, one is haunted by memories of the past. So one is sleeping, and some people have no problem sleeping. You know, you have problem waking them up. As soon as they lie down, they are out. And even if someone, you know, shakes them up, nothing will happen. But some other people are always having difficulty with sleep, and they're always having different types of memories coming from the past, which haunts them at various stages. So that is because of identification with consciousness. But the most important principle in this is the last, that when one identifies with all of these different types of aspects simultaneously, if you have multiple identification, dehendriya, prana, mano, dhyamyo, the more you identify with all of these factors, all of the miseries expand simultaneously. So there is an all-out attack at all levels. So you will feel hunger, sex desire, you will be haunted by memories of the past, you will also start feeling bitter and panic, inferiority, everything will start coming. That is like total churning. And that happens when one actually is inspired by false pride. And therefore, the pride ultimately is the cause of expansion of all of these miseries. Therefore, to the extent one identifies with the body, the mind, and the senses, and one tries to be the ruler and controller of all that is, to that extent the miseries expand. Therefore, Puranjan is going into the forest, but when he is entering into the forest, he is proud of the facilities he has to hunt, and he feels totally equipped with whatever is required to hunt the right objects in the right possible way. Dripta ateshu karmuka. And therefore the bow and the arrow he is carrying is the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. So one feels extremely proud of the types of attachments and the likes and dislikes he has. And then he feels completely competent to hunt the kind of objects he likes and avoid the sense objects he dislikes. And that feeling of complacency and impudence is the cause of his fall down. So now, the pride leads to the second stage. We have just begun with pride, but that leads to the second stage of enjoyment, unlimited enjoyment. Shashan, Varahan, Mahishan, Gavayan, Ruru, Shalyakan, Anyan, Medhanscha, Vividhan, Vinignan, Shramam, Adhyagat. So Puranjan is killing rabbits, bisons, cows, various types of other animals in the forest. And by killing them, he feels tired after some time. Vinignan shramam adhyagat, fatigue. So this is the third stage, that pride leads to desire for unlimited enjoyment. And the more one unlimitedly enjoys various sense objects, so all these animals, Shashan, Varahan, Mahishan, refer to various types of sense objects. And if you are only focusing on sex life, then various ways in which one enjoys various types of sex pleasures with various types of partners in various types of ways. But after going through all of this, the reaction is vinignan shramam, fatigue. So when one is fatigued, Puranjan returns back to his palace. And what does he do? Tata kshutrit parishranto nivritta griham eivan kritasnano chitahara samvivesha gataklama. Tata kshutrit parishranto. He takes food and he takes a nice bath. And when he takes a bath and takes food, he becomes free from all fatigue and hunger. So therefore, Puranjan returning back to the palace means the conditioned soul, after being frustrated trying to enjoy senses unlimitedly, comes to the association of devotees, comes back and regains his good intelligence, tries to search out his good intelligence and discrimination, and in that, krita snana uchit ahara, bath and good food refers to hearing the proper philosophy and taking guidance from a spiritual master. Samvivesha gataklama. And when you do that, come to sadhu sangha, then in that association of devotees, then gradually you are freed from all of these miseries. So that is the fourth stage, when the consciousness is rejuvenated. So after fatigue is rejuvenation in the association. And this rejuvenation is enhanced when there is absorption. And that is the next stage. That in the association, one is rejuvenated. But if he has to maintain that, he has to absorb himself. And it is described, Atmanam arhayam chakre dhupalepa sragadibi. So Puranjan, he is decorating himself with dhupa, with various types of ornaments and various types of garlands and chandan. All of these very fragrant garlands are decorating his body. Sadhu alankrita sarvango mahishyo adade mana. And with all of these garlands and with all of these decorations, he appeared to be very beautiful. Beautiful decoration. So sadhu alankrita means decorated nicely, decorated beautifully. But sadhu alankrita also means that when one is decorated with transcendental knowledge received from the sadhus. Sadhu alankrita sarvango mahishyo. So in this association, one associates with great souls, great sadhus. And the sadhus give us the ornament of Srimad Bhagavatam and Harinam. And when one is ornamented with these most wonderful things, then only one can remain protected. Sadhu alankrita sarvango. And then he becomes completely absorbed. So Prabhupada says, one has to absorb one's intelligence in the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the alankar, the ornament which the sadhus give. And thus, Puranjan's consciousness is purified further. He is absorbing his mind and intelligence further. And gradually, the influence of Rajogun and Tamogun is coming down. Tadarajas Tamobhava. And gradually, he is inspired in the mode of goodness. But now is where the danger comes. He was a mindless sense gratifier before. Got frustrated, came into association. In the association, he started performing his sadhana bhakti. When performing sadhana bhakti, you become purified. When you become purified, you feel happy and satisfied. So, tripto hrishtas sudriptascha. So, one feels tripta, satisfaction, and hrishta, happiness. This satisfaction and happiness is the greatest trap. There's nothing wrong in being satisfied and happy. But now, this satisfaction and happiness, if it leads to the third thing, it is most dangerous, which is sudriptascha. So when you are satisfied and happy, the intelligence convinces us that I have managed to solve all problems on my own. And now life is without problems, and now I can again enjoy. I came to Hare Krishna movement because my enjoyment was impeded because of miseries. Those miseries have gone. Now I am happy, so I can again enjoy. So we have not actually purified ourselves of the enjoyment propensity, and we may have actually come into the association because there was impediment, major impediments in our ability to enjoy. And therefore, by practice of Krishna consciousness, all those impediments are removed, and then one again starts feeling tripto, I'm satisfied, you know, and hrishta, I'm happy. And therefore, the circumstance has changed, people have changed, the area of our operations change, but because the consciousness is still that of enjoyment, sudriptascha, one again feels pride. Pride in his ability, that how I have again controlled things in such a way that I am the enjoyer. Sudripta is again pride. So he went to the forest out of pride in his body and in his senses. And after coming again in the association of devotees, he is again trapped by the pride. And now the pride is that how he has managed to solve all these problems. And he has again regained the ability to enjoy. Sudriptascha. And as soon as this pride comes, Kandarpa Krishta Manasa. So Kandarpa is waiting. That means Cupid is waiting with the arrow. And as soon as the pride comes up, then immediately Kandarpa or Cupid shoots the arrow. They are both related. Just like in a staircase, the switches are there, top to bottom. You put on this switch, light goes there. So as soon as pride comes, immediately there is attack of Cupid. Kandarpa Krishta Manasa. And again, na vyachashta vararoham grihinim grihamedinim. Again, he falls down into the association of his wife and completely forgets the goal of life. And ultimately, this leads him to take birth in the next life again, and then only by serving her husband, he's born as a woman, and she serves her husband, which represents the disciple serving a guru with full sincerity without duplicity, he perfects his life. Therefore, the jiva actually falls. First, because of pride, he goes into the mode of enjoyment, feels fatigued, comes back into the association, is rejuvenated, tries to absorb himself, and when he absorbs himself, he gets the results of that absorption. But then, that results in his feeling complacent. And that complacency leads him to again feel proud, and that again leads to disaster. So this is the basic principle of how the conditioned soul is again and again enamored by the influence of illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. And therefore we have the example of Kala Krishnadas to explain this principle of how the jiva falls. Kala Krishnadas was in association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still he went away, captured by the Bhatari women. So later Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ebe ami yahani korila vidaye, yaha icha yaha tuma nahi aradaye. Lord Chaitanya is telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ebe ami ihani, I have caught this fellow and brought him back. But karila vidai, but now I want to send him away. I don't want to take any more responsibility for him. So please take care of him. I do not take any responsibility. So Prabhupada describes that through this pastime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give two lessons. What was that? If the jiva misuses his little independence, if the soul misuses his little independence, then number one, anyone can fall down. And number two, any time he can fall down. These are the two lessons. Anyone can fall down anytime if he misuses his little independence. And to explain this graphically, we can see that he was right in the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and still was allured away. So the whole idea is how one must not misuse his independence. So we have certain independence and we should know how not to misuse it and use it in a certain way. And that is out of one's own free will. There is no force. Like in Mayapur, when Srila Prabhupada was there one time, suddenly Prabhupada was hearing the sound of beating. Someone was beating and someone was crying out, Prabhupada, save me, save me. And Prabhupada went out to see what was happening. And Gargamuni Prabhu came and Prabhupada said, what is this beating sound? And he said, we were beating up on Brahmachari. Prabhupada said, why were you beating a Brahmachari? He said that we are trying to give him service and he didn't want to do that service. And then we said, if you are a Brahmachari, you have to do service, it is compulsory. Otherwise, you have to get out. So what he did was, he had some money. So with that money, he purchased life membership card. And then he became life member. And he was staying in the guest room. And when we went to give him service, he said, I'm a life member. You can't give me service. So then the only way we thought that we can take away his membership is by beating. So therefore, we are beating him up. And Prabhupada started laughing. He said, when I started life membership scheme, I never thought of this problem. That someone will even have such an innovative idea that a good way of avoiding service is become life member. And this was for outside people, especially, you know, Indians and aristocratic people who would like to get connected with ISKCON. But a brahmachari means he is coming and voluntarily offering his independence and giving it to Krishna, that I offer this at your lotus feet. Otherwise, there is no concept of force. So therefore, misuse of independence can create havoc. So the third point which I would discuss is how to prevent a fall, or how to prevent being allured by material energy. So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the pastime of Lord Brahma. And it is described that after Brahma had taken away the calves and cows, and Krishna manifested all those Vishnu forms in the end. So the beautiful set of verses come. And it is said, Angrimastakamapurnastulasi navadamabhir komalair sarvagatreshu bhuri punyavat arpitai. So Brahmaji observed that each one of those Vishnu forms was beautifully decorated. Angri mastakam, from the lotus feet up to the top. Apurnai tulasi navadamabhir, very fresh tulasi garlands had been offered. Komalai, with very, very soft leaves. Sarvagatreshu. And this beautiful form of Vishnu was being worshipped by Bhuri Punyavat Arpitai. These tulasi garlands had been offered by devotees who had accumulated lot of piety in past lives. Bhuri Punyavat Arpitai. That means, if you are in a position that you are taking tulasi and offering to Krishna's lotus feet, that means you are engaging in Krishna's service, that fortune is only possible for someone who is highly pious. So how to prevent the fall? The first step is awareness. Awareness of our great immense fortune, of what treasure we have. Bhuri Punyavat Arpitai. Because we have accumulated so much of piety, only then we are able to offer services to Krishna. We are able to serve the deities. We are able to serve the devotees. So that awareness of our fortune must always be there. And then secondly, it is described, okay, the awareness is there, but how to maintain that? So therefore, the second principle is that we have desire and we have come to the Krishna consciousness movement with sincere desire to serve, but we are being constantly bombarded with material desires and sense objects, and our mind keeps playing tricks. So what to do? Chandrika Vishadasmerai Saruna Panga Vikshitai Swakarthanam Ivaraja Satvabhyam Srashtripalaka. Beautiful verse which describes that if you are aware of your fortune and you want to maintain that desire, then the second thing you must do is pray. One must pray. One must be in the mood of prayer. When one comes in front of Radha Gopinath, Krishna, one must pray. And this verse says that Brahmaji was seeing these Vishnu forms. Chandrika Vishada Smerai. So the shine, the effulgence of these Vishnu forms was increasing just like moonshine. Chandrika Vishada Smerai Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshitai. So each one of those Vishnu forms was doing two things. They were glancing and they were smiling. Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshitai. Apanga means with a sidelong glance. And they were Swakarthanam Ivaraja Sattvabhyam. They were also smiling. So the purport is, with Krishna, what Krishna does is, with his glance, he creates spiritual desires of his devotees. So I think I have no desire, I have no intensity, I have no desire to hear and chant, I have no desire to be sincere in bhakti. When I come in front of the deities and the deities glance upon me, that glance of Krishna creates desires, spiritual desires. Swakarthanam means of devotees' desires. Artha means desires and swaka means devotees. Swakarthanam iva raja sattvabhyam srishtripalaka. So the glands, raja, Krishna's eyes are lotus-eyed, red color. It appears like raja, like rajogun, creation. But it is not like rajogun. These are creation of spiritual desires. Therefore, it is not like the creation of anything mundane, which is inspired by the mode of passion. Swakarthanam iva raja sattvabhyam srishtripalaka. So with his glands, Krishna creates desires, and then after the desires are created, we are trying to practice bhakti to the best of our ability sincerely, and we are struggling and we are wondering whether I'll be able to maintain these desires. There is so much of attack, so much of problem. So again, the one who helped you create those desires will also help you maintain those desires. So glance of Krishna creates the desire, and when we are facing doubt and various kinds of mental difficulties, you come in front of the deities and you see Krishna smile. And that smile of Krishna is reassuring. Don't worry. Who has given you that desire? I have created, helped you create those desires. Therefore, I will also help you maintain those desires. Sattvabhyam srishtripalaka. So therefore, when a devotee comes in front of the deities and prays to the Lord, then he is able to actually create and maintain his spiritual desires and face the test of time. Otherwise, practice of Krishna consciousness for one full lifetime based on one's own endeavor is impossible. Just as Arjuna's fighting on the battlefield without Krishna as the chariot driver is impossible. Then, the third very beautiful point which comes is that, okay, one is aware and one prays, but after prayer, one has to engage in the third stage, and that is, one has to engage in dedicated service. Atmadi stamba paryantair murti madbhir characharai nritya geetadi anek arhai prithak prithak upasita. So Brahmaji saw that all kinds of living beings, from the topmost to the bottom, most powerful to the most insignificant jivas, in their forms, in their bodies, were engaged in offering worship and service to all these Vishnu forms which were in front of him. How? Nritya Geetadi Anek Arhai Prithak Prithak Upasita. Depending on the individual capacities, each one of these different forms, each one of these different jiva souls, conditioned souls, were offering service to Lord Vishnu in different ways, according to their abilities. Nritya, somebody was dancing, somebody was singing, and others were performing other things according to their individual talents. Prithak prithak upasita. So one has to engage in dedicated service to Krishna using one's abilities according to one's capacity. Whatever one may have, that is not so important. And then when one does that, the fourth stage is, this service is very good, but the most critical part is, one has to, number fourth is, surrender his independence. And the verse says, kala swabhava samskara kama karma gunadibhi sva mahi dhvasta mahi bhir murti madbhir upasita. Beautiful verse which says that now Brahmaji saw on top of these souls who were worshipping, and as soon as they started this worship, kala, personified time, swabhava, their natures, samskara, their previous conditionings, and all the impressions in their personified forms, kama, their desires, karma, their activities and karmic reactions, and guna, the particular modes in which they are entrapped, all of these in their personified forms also appeared. And swamahi dhvasta mahibhir, and all of these different features which are cause of conditioning and bondage in the material world for the jiva, in their personified appeared, and swamahi dhvasta mahibhir, they offered their independence unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhvasta mahibhir means they understood that in front of Krishna's omnipotency, our independence is nothing. Swamahi means I take my own independence, and dhvasta mahibhir, and decide to destroy that independence and surrender that independence by offering it to the supremely independent Krishna. And swamahir dhvasta mahibhir murti madbhir upasita. So the purport Prabhupada gives is that all of these are factors, kala, karma, svabhava, guna, are features which bind us. But as soon as we engage in dedicated service and decide to give up our independence, all of these factors which are generally responsible for taking us away from Krishna themselves ecstatically engage in serving Krishna and help us also engage in Krishna's service. And rather than act as impediment, they start acting as useful instruments in bringing us closer to Krishna. And that is when our consciousness is fully attuned to service to Krishna. And that is a moment-to-moment happening. And as soon as we start feeling something different, immediately kala, karma, svabhava, all of these will again start acting as impediment in our service to Krishna. So therefore, surrendering the independence is the fourth aspect. And then when one does that, one actually becomes purified. And this ultimately results in the fifth stage of purification. So it is described, Sprishtva chatur mukuta koti birangri yugmam natva mudashru sujalair akrita abhishekam. So Brahmaji gets down from his swan chariot, falls down on the ground like a golden rod. Sprishtva chatur mukuta koti bhir. He takes his helmets and places it on the ground in front of Krishna, offers full prostrated obeisances, and takes his head and places it on Krishna's lotus feet, and there are tears of ecstasy in his eyes. Sprishtva chatur mukuta koti bhir angri yugmam. At Krishna's divine lotus feet, the beautiful lotus feet of Krishna, Brahmaji is offering his obeisances and is placing his eyes and head on Krishna's feet. Natva mud ashru sujalair. And there are tears of ecstasy. Mud ashru means tears of ecstasy flowing from his eyes. Sujalair. So the word used is sujalair. Sujalair means purified tears. So Prabhupada gives the purport that because now Brahmaji had become freed from the misconception that I am the Brahma, I am the creator, and sarvopade vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. So this sujalair or purified tears refers to that tat paratvena nirmalam. When one becomes freed from all the misconceptions of one's false identity. Akrita abhishekam. So Brahmaji performed abhishek of Krishna's lotus feet with the tears of ecstasy which were purified by his understanding that I am nothing but an insignificant servant of Krishna. And when he performed that abhishek, that was very purifying, and that actually made him understand that yes, I have to now offer prayers to Lord Krishna. And in this way, Brahmaji offered prayers to Krishna in that mood of utter humility, free from false pride. So therefore it is pride which actually results in entanglement, and it is freedom from pride and the feeling of humility where one understands that I have only one service, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna and all these other upadhis are false. In that mood only one can remain protected from all kinds of attacks. Otherwise we are in the midst of a battlefield and constant attacks are going on from all directions. There is no way we can protect ourselves for a lifetime of devotional service against such powerful attacks of Maya's weapons. So when we are in this consciousness, then we can actually remain protected. So this is basically, in short, what I wanted to discuss on. What protects us from a fall, how the jiva falls in, how to prevent a fall after practice of Krishna consciousness. So very heavy purport Prabhupada says, many devotees fall down due to illicit sex. You know, it's very explicit. And then for a livelihood, they accept menial service and become beggars. And even fall down from highly honored, renounced order. So many scary statements are there in this. So I was telling someone that instead of Krishna book at night, sometimes you should read Forest of Material Enjoyment also, for a change. Because the purports and the translations are so powerful, they help us maintain our consciousness and take away any propensity to enjoy this world. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So anyone has any comments? Jaya Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Tai Gaur Premanande.